deserve it. Taking care of business. Offer ends 11/11. Limit one.
Good Friday, everyone, and welcome into the gym class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Coming up on the show, Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us. We'll talk about the opening of the college basketball season tonight. Iowa, Iowa State, you and I all in action. And we'll kick that around with Jeremiah Davis. We'll talk a little football as well. Also, Jason Galloway, the Wisconsin State Journal, will join us to talk about Wisconsin Badger football. And we'll have the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. We'll get you updated what's happening at the U.S. Cellular Center with state volleyball. Likewise, we will get you updated from the Unidome in Cedar Falls with high school football. And we've got high school football semifinal action coming your way in just a little bit. And that'll be on all three frequencies as Iowa City West will take on Bettendorf in a 4A state semifinal. All that coming up on the gym class in KGYM. And hello, everyone, and welcome to the gym class here on KGYM, taking you through what we probably believe will be the 3 o'clock hour. I'm Scott Unash, alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer. And again, programming note for today, Todd off at a family funeral. And so the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and with Alex in Cedar Falls. Nobody's here to do the show. I got back home at 1:15 last night. I'm not doing the dumb thing. So, at any rate, there will be football today in lieu of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We're going to put it on all three frequencies, 4A battle, semifinal, Iowa City West, Bettendorf, and the winner of that one gets either Dowling or Ankeny Centennial coming up next Friday night. And it was scheduled to be a 4 o'clock kickoff, or just past 4 o'clock with the kickoff, and 3:45 with the pregame. Now, that may change here, as the prior game to that, West Sioux and St. Albert of Council Bluffs going at it. They have just a little less than 6 minutes to play in the third quarter, and West Sioux with a 33-7 lead. And, Mark, if my math skills are correct, if they put one in here, West Sioux, and they are on the St. Albert, they're inside the 10-yard line, that would invoke the 35-point rule at this point. No? 40 minus 7, 33. Darn it!
Yes, you got back at 1:15 last night.
Yeah,
right?
I did. So, Coach Urkelman, wherever you are, forgive me. Because that was rotten math right there. He'd be right, Mr. Unish. Oh, man. But anyway, so it's not going to be a 3:45 pregame. We're going to probably go till 4 o'clock here. And if Alex is not ready to go at that time, we will get you a little bit of ESPN programming.
Yeah, basically the finish of this show is predicated on the game that's going on right now.
I think these times based on the Iowa High School Athletic Association are predicated on football kind of from yesteryear, Mark. They also have to have time for you and I to practice as well. Keep that in mind. Yesterday, they had a 9 o'clock game, a 12 o'clock game for 8-player, and then at 5:35, the first 3A semifinal. Our semifinal between Xavier and Solon was supposed to kick off at 8:20 last night.
Which is late enough.
Which is late enough, but when you have a 3-hour game prior to it, football is just having too many stoppages now to stay in that window. And I understand you and I has to practice. May have to just visit a situation as West Sioux is down to the 1-yard line. May have to look at a situation to add another day to it. Now, you and I might not like that. It's going to cost more money, but I don't think anybody was real happy starting a game at 9:20 last night between Xavier and Solon. Like I said, we got home, and obviously we, in the media, had responsibilities. We got home at 1:15 this morning. Solon, probably by the time they shower, get everything together, get out of there and get home, probably was at least 1:45.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to turn around and go to school today. That seems counterproductive to me. I don't know. That's just my two cents worth on it.
I couldn't agree more. And I think had you and I not needed to practice, you could have started that 5:30 or 5:45 game at 3 o'clock or 3:30, therefore pushing up that Xavier Solon game to a more reasonable time.
Now, today, you and I understand, practiced early in the morning before the first semifinal at 10 o'clock, which was a Class A semifinal. So they went in order today. It's 10, 1, 4, and 7. Mm-hmm. Now, they're already behind. It's 3:09, and they're at the latter stages of the third quarter of the final game of the day. I mean, football is just not a two-hour game anymore, even in high school football. Last night's Harlan Pella Classic went 3 hours on the button. Ended at 8:30. By the time you get the award ceremonies, get everybody off the field, get the other teams ready to go, it's an hour basically between games. And I understand it, but maybe this is something to look at as well. Seemingly in all of the other sports, you have one national anthem during, and I don't want to be anti-country here. Don't throw me text. I'm just trying to come up with a solution to not play 9:20 football games. But they have the national anthem ahead of each game. And it's great. I fully understand it. But when it's 9:05, 9:10 at night, maybe it's time to rethink that one a little bit.
Well, you have two sessions essentially yesterday. Do two. One right at the start of each session.
Start of each session. They do that for basketball. They do that for baseball. Football, they have to do the national anthem ahead of each game. I don't know. Anyway, 319-366-1600. What a great win by Xavier last night. Looked very, very good as the Saints defeated Solon in the Battle of Unbeatens 35-7. And Xavier will now get Pella. And that will be next Thursday night. We'll have that game for you here on KGYM.
Yeah, terrific season for Solon. And, you know, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose in that regard. And I think Xavier, from what I saw and heard, just executed very, very well in that first half, and then continued on. They've found something in kick returns. Punt returns.
Oh, they've had that forever.
They've
that wall
executed very well.
That wall return on a punt is... and John, my partner John Hegarty, he called it. He called it twice in the Assumption game. He called it in the Solon game. You get that wall return like that, you're going to have... going to have big problems right there. Let's go to the phones. Going to bring in our friend Joel from Muscatine, who has coached, who has played, who has been on all sides of it, now covering things. And Joel, should we start football games at 9:20?
No, not at all. But more importantly, they shouldn't even be playing it this weekend. The finals should be this weekend. They need to move the season up a week. So week zero is now week one for everybody. This is also the catalyst for now having spring baseball, allowing football to start earlier in the summer. And my reason for this has most everything to do with the whole students, not just the athlete. I know there are 9 kids in the smaller classes who, if they make the state championship game next weekend, have to not participate in the Iowa State Music Festival so they can play in a state championship football game. We should be putting our student athletes in that position. And that's a big deal to me, and I think it should be a bigger deal to the state of Iowa. And if they change that, that could alleviate all of that so that the Iowa State Music Festival and state championship football are not on the same weekend. So let's go to week zero for everybody, make that week one, and that should fix the problem.
Well, there's a lot. Thank you, Joel. And you're not the first one to come up with that idea about baseball. I would love to see my thing. I don't think baseball is ever going to stay or move from the summer. But I would like to see it go up a couple weeks. I don't think that would hurt anything.
Right now it's the end of May, right?
Baseball, yeah. Starts first competitions right around Memorial Day.
Yeah. You move it up 2 weeks easily.
Easily. And yeah, you're going to get the, well, you got track guys. Well, not as much as you used to. I would love it if there were multi-sport athletes like we used to have. But we just don't have them as much anymore. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Jeremiah Davis coming up here in just a little bit. Let's get our friend Wally on here to talk a little bit about the Iowa's game against Wisconsin tomorrow and a little bit about high school. Hi, Wally. How are you?
Hi, you guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think that you know, teams know that we don't like to run our quarterback. I think, and I said this, I think, when I called in on Tuesday, I watched the replay of the Iowa-Ohio State game, and they ran some running plays in between the, you know, guards, and there was a lot of space after he handed the ball off. You know, obviously the defense can see where it's going, but maybe put him in a situation where he's not going to get clobbered, running two or three times during the game. You know, he's not a running quarterback. We all know that. But to keep Wisconsin off guard. Also, another thing we haven't done in ages is maybe hand the ball to the fullback on third and short. You know, that would be, you know, a new twist. You know, not revamp the whole offense. If anybody's listening, that's not what I'm talking about. Just a little bit of tweaking to keep Wisconsin off balance. And now I want to ask you a question about high school football. Are there any kids in 4A, the Dowling, the Bettendorf game and the Dowling game that Iowa is recruiting? I will hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it. Yes, for Dowling, they have a young man, defensive player, I believe, by the name Wagner. I'm not, I'd have to double check on that. But Iowa and Iowa State in a big battle to get him. Bettendorf's got a couple kids or quarterbacks being looked at a little bit as a junior. And obviously, Iowa City West, as Dylan Doyle has already signed to play for Iowa. And why not? Because dad is Chris Doyle.
After last week.
Your phone's on, after Mark. Last Come week, on, man.
After last week, Wally, what more do you want out of Iowa's offense? Gain nearly 500 yards against Ohio State, and you're worried about running a non-running quarterback?
I was not going to run.
I get it. You just want to
be perfect. Perfection.
Well, you want to change things up a little bit. You might need to do that against Wisconsin. But Nate Stanley is not going to run the option. He's not a running quarterback. He's a very good quarterback at what he is right now. And as far as a fullback goes, I think there was a touchdown pass to Drake Kulik. I think after last week, there's a very... little room to argue with what happened.
Yeah, I would agree for the most part. Iowa's not going to run the read option. That's not Iowa's bag. That's not Brian Ferentz's thing. That's not Kirk Ferentz's thing. Will Stanley run occasionally? Yeah, I think he will. But, yeah, we're not going to run the read option or anything like that on a consistent basis. And I think we have got it to the fullback a couple times this year. Maybe not quite as much as we have in the past, but I don't think the play call has dictated that.
They're better blockers than runners.
True.
319-366-1600. That's our Hurting and Stalker text line. Visit them in downtown Iowa City or online at hurtingandstalkerjewelers.com. Question for you, Scott.
Surely. I will try to answer.
23-25. This will be a softball for you. How do the length of the state games compare to the regular season games?
Well, the regular season games are getting longer and longer as well.
They seem longer. If so, why?
More passing. Getting out of bounds.
At the semifinal level, you have TV timeouts, do you not?
Yep. Two-minute TV timeouts. So that elongates the game there as well. Yeah. Get real quick here. Do scores and then get to Jeremiah Davis here. State volleyball today. The MVC went 2-for-2. 5A, Cedar Falls, the champion. Cedar Falls, 3-0 over West Des Moines Valley. 4A, Dubuque-Wallert, 3-2 as they get the win over Sergeant Bluff Luton. And at the Unidome in Cedar Falls going on right now, Iowa High School semifinals. Class A, West Sioux 36, Council Bluffs St. Albert 7. And earlier on today was Hudson getting the win 41-17 over St. Ansgar. And we mentioned Iowa City West against Bettendorf coming up right after our show here on KGYM. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Jeremiah Davis is patiently waiting, and we'll talk to him when we return.
Let's visit your folks in Florida over winter break.
Good idea.
I'm checking fares from the Quad City International Airport. They have nonstop Allegiant flights to the Fort Myers area starting December 15th. Ooh, that's perfect. The kids can swim and you and your dad can play golf.
What about you?
Oh, I'll be shopping with your mom, talking about how lucky you two are to have such spectacular wives.
Plan your Florida getaway to Fort Myers or four other Allegiant destinations at qcairport.com. The Quad City International Airport, making travel easier.
Malpractice is a medical term, right? Actually, it's not. It's a plumber's word, a daycare in your home word. It means whatever you do for a living, if it goes wrong for somebody else, it can cost you big dollars. Luckily, professional liability insurance can save your bacon. And at Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person who will make it simple to get. Meet yours at youhaveaperson.com. Skogman Carlson Insurance, supported by Integrity Insurance.
Don't just survive the holidays, slay the season with buy one, get one half off GNC Sports Performance products. Fuel stronger workouts with GNC Amp Whey Bolic Protein. It's clinically proven to increase strength. GNC Amp Ripped Vitapack burns more calories. And Performix Iridium SSTI delivers explosive energy for every workout. Save today with buy one, get one half off GNC Sports Performance. Hustle to GNC or GNC.com. Sale ends November 22nd. Slay the season, only at GNC. Live well.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, we've been putting tires on cars since 1926. And we know when the road gets rough, you need a set of tires that can get tough. Right now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, get $60 on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid October 12th through November 12th. Claim form required. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Bancorp Bank member FDIC expiration applies.
Mega 320 here in the gym class on KGYM, and we're going to go until 4 o'clock here today. Although Wesu is scooping and scoring, perhaps, Mark Dukes. One man to beat, not going to get it done. But if Wesu gets a touchdown here, then they will have the 35-point rule evoked right there. 319-366-1600. Our high school discussion about... like Joel mentioned, moving the calendar around a little bit. It's been thought of a few times. We did have a few texters, a few callers say, the smaller schools need those all-around athletes. And they do have the all-around athletes, multi-sporters. I do acknowledge that. Don't have as many as they used to, even at that level. But I think we can find a compromise. 2 weeks, baseball. And that gives the baseball, football guys a chance to have a vacation. I went through that for 3 years. Going from baseball to football with my oldest son. And yeah, it was great because they had success, but he was there without a vacation, without a chance to take any time off, basically.
Even the most successful football and volleyball teams right now, they are going to impact if they play basketball.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They got another week of football.
Yep.
And then to get ready for basketball, which is right around the corner. You know, that's being impacted, too. So,
I would like to see football move up a week. I'm with Joel. It may next year when they redo the districts, the two-year cycle. I don't think we're going to see 16-team playoffs. I think it may expand. I like the 16 myself. I don't want to go back to 32. I think that's just too many.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Davis joining us. he's got a busy day today and tonight, a busy night. As the basketball season getting underway, not a bad way to kick it off. Iowa State goes to Columbia to take on Mizzou. All UNI has to do is go to the Dean Dome and watch them raise a banner for the national championship last year. And Iowa opens at home against the always mighty Chicago State Cougars. And I'm sure that's where Jeremiah will be camped out tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Well, not too bad. We don't have 90 good seconds of NASCAR for you, but I'll give you 45 seconds of off-season IndyCar news if you like.
Sure thing.
No, I want to know from Jeremiah what he thinks Landon Castle's future is.
Well, it's still really up in the air. I mean, I think he's certainly talented enough to stay at the top level, and I think that if he had a major sponsor, it would be an absolute no-brainer. But I think that's just the issue right now is there's some other guys and gals. I mean, if Danica Patrick can get her sponsorship together, she might have something put together as well. So, unfortunately, that's the reality of NASCAR right now is you kind of have to have some money, and he doesn't. He's never been a driver who has come with a major sponsor. He's always been paid to drive, And until now, there's been teams that have been willing to take him. It's just whether or not he's going to have that opportunity in this offseason. I think he'll find something. I just don't know what or exactly when or where.
Mm. Yeah, NASCAR is kind of falling into what we have found with basically every other major racing series, and that is drivers got to bring money to the table, or they're going to get passed up by somebody who is going to bring money.
Yep, it's unfortunately it's the reality of it, and it's not going to get better anytime soon.
No.
Iowa basketball, Nick Bear goes down with an injury to his hand. Is that this an opportunity for some of these younger guys, the newer guys, maybe have a even more of an opportunity to show their wares?
Yeah, I don't think it's much for Iowa to worry about at this point. We were able to talk to Nicholas Bear yesterday, right before their practice or right after, one of the two, and he seemed fine. He didn't have surgery. He's in like an air cast kind of thing. It's not a permanent cast, one of those deals, and it's just a matter of patience right now. And basically, Fran said that Ahmad Wagner is going to essentially get the minutes that Nicholas Bear had. I mean, it'll even out. He's not going to get all of them. He's going to play 25 minutes a game, but I don't think it's an issue because of their extreme depth at his position, and especially against the slate of opponents they've got. You know, up until the Big Ten, those first two Big Ten games against Penn State and Indiana, it's not going to be much. I mean, he won't get to play in the Caymans. If they have a chance to play Cincinnati, it might come into play, but I don't know. I don't think it's much to worry about right now. And like you said, it's just going to give a few more minutes to either Jack Nungy or maybe Dom Mule and for sure Ahmad Wagner.
Yeah, and interestingly enough about Ahmad Wagner, been listening to folks, reading things, talking it over. It sounds like Ahmad Wagner has developed a little bit of a jump shot. He likes that three-point shot a little bit. That's going to be a little interesting when he launches the first one coming up tonight, probably.
Well, he told us that. Okay, he told us he's been shooting 40% or so in practice. Now if he is, great for him. I have never seen with my eyes him show the ability to shoot 46% from three-point range. Now, granted, that's not been part of his game. He's not been asked to do that. And, you know, when he said that, it was sort of I don't want to say offhand, but he was asked about, you know, his role when he's playing the three and because some of the other guys who play that position, namely Nicholas Bear, do shoot the three. He kind of gave us that little look, and he's like, it's kind of on the down low, but nobody knows. I've been shooting 40% or so in practice, and we all kind of laughed. And he's like, no, I'm shooting it well. And I'm like, okay. And so it's sort of a I'll believe it when I see it kind of a thing, because he's never been asked to do that, and I don't think that he'll be asked to do that going forward. If he can, it's kind of like a cherry on the top, and then he'll get a lot more minutes if he's shooting well, because as athletic as he is and as good of a defender as he is individually, that would be highly valuable if he could also shoot from outside.
With Christian Williams leaving the program and the decision has been made to take the red shirt off Connor McCaffrey, number one, do you agree with it? And number two, what have you seen out of McCaffrey at this early juncture?
Well, you know, I think he's a better player than Christian Williams, and I don't want to say that as a slight to Christian Williams, because I wrote several times last year about how much I thought of Christian's defense. It's just offensively, I don't know that Christian ever really he didn't seem to ever fully fit into the way the offense Fran ran. His scoring ability just was never fully there. And so to that end, I think it's going to be a help to Iowa to have Connor in there, where he's a better passer than Christian, and obviously has a really good grasp right away of the system, having grown up in it. Whether or not I agree with it isn't really it doesn't really matter. But it shouldn't be an issue on paper for the Hawkeyes. Connor should be able to slip in pretty seamlessly. The only curiosity you have, the only wonder, you know, the question that you have is whether or not this kid, if he gets to play a lot right away, if his teammates are okay with that, right? Because are they everybody had this idea that it was going to be Christian Williams and Jordan Bohannon, and Connor was going to wait a year. If going forward, you know, if the locker room signs off on it, there shouldn't be an issue. It's just whether or not, you know, whenever there's a coach's son situation, you have to wonder about it. There's nothing that says right now that it's an issue, and I don't want to make it sound like that. I just, it's an option that's out there. It's a possibility that's out there, and if they're not careful, this type of thing has been known to sink teams. And you know, as close as this group is, it shouldn't be an issue, but never, never know.
The Iowa Hawkeyes will be 4-0. I think we can safely assume that going to Blacksburg on November the 28th with Chicago State, Alabama State, Grambling, and Louisiana Lafayette. When will we at that time we will exactly know how good this Iowa basketball team is. But then it gets really interesting with Virginia Tech, Penn State, Indiana, and Iowa State thrown in there. So it's a very interesting schedule, and the Big Ten has dictated that because of the fact that they're going to be going to Madison Square Garden for the tournament this year.
Yeah, having those two Big Ten games in December, I think is good for a couple reasons. One, it gives people a reason to come to Carver Hawkeye Arena in December when the rest of the non-conference slate doesn't really, you know, it leaves a lot to be desired, put it that way. But it does, it's going to force Iowa to be on its game much quicker than it might have had to be in the past. You know, if looking at their non-conference slate, you know, they should be, you know, if things fall into place for them, they should be 11-2 going into the full Big Ten season. You know, and that's if they drop their two really competitive games, right? I mean, barring what happens in the Cayman. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that and how the back and forth going in and out of conference play works. I think at that point of the year, by when, you know, a month from now or whatever it is, Iowa's still not going to be at full strength. You know, they're still going to be learning a lot. So it might not be much different than, you know, in terms of how they approach it than if it was a non-conference game. So that makes the non-conference intriguing. Everything else outside of it, it isn't super intriguing, if you catch my drift.
I wrote a lot of headlines in my career, Jeremiah, but I never wrote one as good as Woodshed IA 52242. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
You guys are selling T-shirts and prints and whatnot, and why not? Anybody getting a cut out of that, or no?
Well, as far as I know, that's getting something out of it. Otherwise, I don't think we would be marketing it, but... It was really cool. I mean, I was sitting next to Mark Morehouse during the game, and you know, he sent that tweet out, and then our Night Sports editor Sam Paxton sent back the full headline, and Mark sort of turned his computer to me and was like, "What do you think?" And I made a noise. So I don't know exactly what the words I said were, but like that's awesome. And you know, I love when newspapers. You know, obviously I'm a sap for newspapers, right? I'm sort of old school in that mentality, even in my mid-20s, I love that newspapers still can have that kind of cachet, that people still care what the headline is, that it made, you know, it made the rounds on some national sports talk shows, mm-hmm. and this and that. It was just a really cool point of pride, and I was, you know, I was happy that Sam actually went through with it, you know, because he and Mark were talking about it, and he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to do that, and they did it, and it was really cool to see the reaction to it.
Yeah, you don't want to go the New York Post route or anything like that, but
right.
I thought that was perfect for the time.
Agreed.
One more basketball question before we get a couple more football things in here. Where do you see the Hawkeyes finishing in the Big Ten? If you had to make your pick right now on November 10th, before the year even starts, where do you see them?
Well, I believe it was almost a month ago I did my five like predictions for the season, and I haven't finished in the top five. I think they're good enough, certainly good enough to finish top five. And if things go right for them, they can knock on the door of the top three. That's purely my, you know, judging off of what they did last year with what they had and what they lost. Now, Peter Jok is an important basketball player. I mean, I will never say that Iowa doesn't need him or didn't need him, but they return, you know, what, 80% of their scoring, and they've got some guys who can score at will, you know. Jok took up double teams and opened up stuff for some other guys. But when you have Tyler Cook and Luka Garza and Jordan Bohannon and Isaiah Moss and Connor McCaffrey or Brady Ellingson on the floor at one time, you know, who can't score on the floor? None of them. They can all score. They can all put the ball in the basket. So I don't understand the sort of disconnect that people nationally have on just weighing so heavily towards discounting Iowa because they lost Peter Jok. Yeah, he was a great scorer and was the leading scorer in the Big Ten, but this group, you know, largely this group, did pretty well without last year. They've served themselves well when he was out last year, so I don't see much of a fall off myself. And then maybe it's just, you know, proximity bias. Maybe I'm too close and can't, you know, zoom out far enough, but I see them finishing top five or better.
We spent a lot of time trying to figure out what exactly happened at Kinnick Stadium last Saturday and kind of ran out of superlatives. And I guess for me, Jeremiah, it came down to execution more than anything else. It wasn't a bunch of new plays, although you did have the gadget play and the pass to Kluver. But I think across the board, it was execution. Do you agree, or do you have some other explanation?
Oh, 100%. It was the first game, other than the Iowa State game, in which both sides of the ball, well, really, it was better than the Iowa State game on defense, for sure. But it was the offensive line was what I come to the most. It looked like for the first time all year, except for maybe the Iowa State game, in which that unit really played as one. They didn't have any breakdowns. You know, you had a redshirt freshman on the left side and a true freshman on the right side at tackle, and both of them had really good games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, Nick Bosa got ejected, but it wasn't like he was getting to Nate Stanley free and clear before that. So that's the only term I think you can use, because I don't want to take away anything from what they did. And that's, I get so mad. I think both of you follow me on Twitter. You both have seen when I get mad about when people use momentum and that it's this all-powerful thing that, you know, waves its hand over a football or a basketball game. And that's why I get so upset about it, is because you're taking away from the preparations these guys did and the game plan that they executed perfectly. You know, nobody has dominated and controlled Ohio State like that in 25 years. I mean, nobody's put up 55 since 94, and you know, it's the worst loss under Urban Meyer, I think, dating back to his Utah or Florida days at least. So it's the way that what those guys did last Saturday was special, and it should be remembered for a long, long time. I'm not confident it will be, but you can't take anything away from what all the coaches did and all those players did to execute nearly flawlessly.
I thought you only got mad at bad mac and cheese, Jeremiah.
It's one of the things.
Okay.
One of the things.
All right.
Well, I'd like to say this one's going to be a dandy tonight, like it is. Like it's going to be in Columbia, or maybe even interesting in Chapel Hill. But I'm not selling that to people tonight.
No, nor should you. It's fine. I mean, I get the pay games. I understand it. It's just essentially, I don't know that it'll be all that much different from these two exhibitions, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right, appreciate it. We'll talk with you soon, and enjoy the basketball in the start of the season tonight, Jeremiah.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Jeremiah Davis from the Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com, and give him a follow. He's a very good follow on Twitter. We're going to take a break and come back. As we get to break, we got another Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. We're going to do that right now. We've been doing it all week. Thanks to Steve, everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper Snapple. We do appreciate it. And you're going to get a 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper. Also some KGYM prizes, including a pint glass and some Dr. Pepper swag as well. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. Kyle will get your information. When we come back, Jason Galloway will join us to talk Wisconsin football.
How is it that Pennzoil in your engine makes you feel this? Or how this takes your mind to this? It's because to us, performance is more than just a word. It's the ultimate goal. And whether you get your oil changed at a shop or take care of it yourself, Pennzoil Synthetics give you complete protection for top engine performance. Make the switch today at your nearest Advanced Auto Parts location.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. specifically in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
The Ford year-end sales event is here. Now with 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 cash back across a full lineup of Ford vehicles. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash across a full lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment on cars and SUVs. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment on F-150. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Back on the Gym Class Friday edition, coming your way here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Iowa, Wisconsin, coming up tomorrow, Camp Randall Stadium, just past 2:30 with the kickoff. We'll have Before the Boom on 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming up at 12:30. And then immediately following the game, your phone calls and texts are welcome on After the Final Gun. And we will have that from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Jason Galloway joining us, who covers the Wisconsin Badgers. He'll be at Camp Randall coming up tomorrow for the Hawks and Wisconsin. And Jason, thanks for taking time with us. And suddenly, this one's got a little star power tomorrow as far as this football game is concerned, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, Iowa with the win they just are coming off of against Ohio State, and jumping up to number 20 in the college football playoff rankings, this is suddenly an even bigger game than we thought it was going to be, probably. And I know Wisconsin is probably almost guaranteed to win the West Division, but if Iowa wins, they at least stay alive and for another week, and I think it's going to be a really good game.
What was the reaction up there in Madison to Iowa's win last week, Jason?
I think it definitely opened some eyes. I think from the team perspective, I think the players said that their kind of reaction to it was, we were surprised that the margin of defeat was that big, but Iowa, they basically said Iowa didn't need to do that to get their attention. They already knew this would be a really tough game, and obviously, I think from us in the media, we look at that game and we think, wow, Iowa's really got something about them, and Wisconsin could definitely lose this game. And I think leading up to this game, we kind of knew it would be one of Wisconsin's toughest game to this point. Obviously, they haven't played a very tough schedule up to this point, and I think it'll be a good measuring stick for Wisconsin to see kind of how good they really are, if they can take care of business against a team that's really hot right now and is ranked number 20.
Well, two teams, as you know, Jason, that like basically to do the same thing. Two coaches that kind of have the same personality, two football teams that kind of have the same personality, and they tend to play very, very close games over the years.
They do, and I think it's going to be close again. I think Wisconsin might be favored by around 12 points, and it seems really high, considering not only the fact that Iowa is coming off that win against Ohio State, but the fact that, like you said, that these games always seem to be close, and I think the road team has won the last six meetings between these teams, and I'm definitely expecting a close game, and I think Wisconsin is going to have to play well to get out of there with a win, and I think it's going to come down to the turnover battle is going to be really important, like we've seen in the last couple Iowa Wisconsin games as well, and Iowa coming off the big, four interception game. I think Alex Horningbrook is going to have to take care of the ball in this one.
Every team in the country has injuries at this point, dinged up, maybe folks out for the year, and Wisconsin's no exception. Tell us about the health of the Badgers.
Yeah, they are really hurting right now. You know, we just found out yesterday that their number one wide receiver, Quintez Cephus, is going to be out for the season after he suffered a leg injury at Indiana last week. You know, they also have a starting safety, a two-year starter at safety, Dakota Dixon, who is questionable to play. They have a lot of depth on their defensive line that's questionable. Their number two nose tackle, Garrett Rand, and the defensive end, Isaiah Watermilk, are both questionable to play as well. And, you know, Chris Orr, starter and inside linebacker, is out this week. So they definitely are suffering from a lot of losses right now. I think Cephus is probably the biggest one. You know, he's a guy that was, they do have, you know, three receivers they feel good about still without him. But I don't think anyone can really give him what he was giving them this season. I think he was having a really big breakout season and was probably, you know, the biggest threat at the wide receiver position this team's had, and at least in the past 5 years probably. And I think he's a weapon that it's really going to hurt them without him on the field.
5 minutes into our conversation, we haven't even mentioned Jonathan Taylor yet, and it's about high time we do, I guess. And what a season he has put together, his first year. Did anyone see this coming? And suddenly he is hoisted into the Heisman Trophy conversation.
Yeah, nobody saw this coming. I don't think the coaching staff even saw this coming until about midway through fall camp. Us in the media got to see only the first couple weeks of fall camp. At that time, he was probably the clear number five running back on the team. He wasn't really getting many reps at all. Legend has it that they had a close scrimmage, about halfway through August, and he just kind of made some really huge plays against the first team defense and really opened everybody's eyes. And then from that point on, they knew he would play a role this season. And he didn't even start the first game of the year. It was Bradrick Shaw, and he was kind of in a three-man rotation. And then he kind of got his opportunity in week two when Shaw was out with an injury, and he had over 200 yards and three touchdowns. And from then on, he's been amazing. And I think when you look at him, he's already such a mature runner. You know, he's a patient runner. He's got elite balance. He's got top end speed. He's got everything you're looking for. I guess the one downside maybe to this point is his ball security. You know, he has put the ball on the ground a few too many times, but he's been fantastic, and we didn't really see it coming. And it's been really big for this offense to have really a home run hitter at running back that maybe they didn't have last year.
Have you seen some maturity out of Hornibrook at quarterback, even though he's thrown 9 interceptions?
Yeah, I have. You know, the thing about Hornibrook this season, you know, he has made that one or two really bad throws that really hurt the Badgers in these pretty much every Big Ten game at this point. But he seems to just really get it together and play well otherwise. You know, I think you look at the game against Indiana last week, he threw the interception on the, I think it was their first drive, and wasn't necessarily his fault, but he bounced back and played really well the rest of the game, and that's kind of how he's gone about the season so far. He'll make those, you know, one or two bad mistakes, but he'll kind of make up for it the rest of the game. And I think against better teams, though, you know, that's going to be a lot harder to make up for. You know, against a team like Iowa, team like Michigan next week, or you know, the Big Ten title game down the road, at some point he's going to have to, you know, play a mistake-free game. It's going to be a lot more difficult if Wisconsin's offense gets off to a slow start against these better teams. It's going to be harder to make that up.
2 years ago, when Iowa last was at Camp Randall, that was a game that Wisconsin fumbled inside the one-yard line, and Iowa came away with the victory. Yes, it was 2 years ago. A lot of different players now versus then, but I would imagine that fact hasn't been lost in the Badgers.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't really come up this week too much. You know, I think that, I guess since they've played another game since then, you know, against each other, and they were able to come out with a victory, maybe that's kind of, and like you said, you know, a lot of, you know, seniors and juniors on that team are no longer here, but I think they definitely are very aware that Iowa has come into Camp Randall the last two times that they've come to Madison and won the game. And I think that's one of those games against, you know, Iowa, you know, a couple of years ago that really, you know, Wisconsin fans and the players too felt like that they really kind of gave away, and that kind of, you know, at that point in the season, I think they were still really, really in the hunt for some, you know, for the Big Ten title game and everything like that, and that kind of, that kind of, you know, went away with that loss, and so I think they definitely want to, they're definitely aware of what they're facing and what the history is between these teams, and I think they know it's going to take a their best effort to get a win.
I think one of the great moments of the year for me, anyway, watching Wisconsin football is your left guard scoring a touchdown a couple games ago, and seeing him beam on the bench, and does he beg for the ball anymore?
No, yeah, Michael Dieter, yeah, that was a crazy play. No one was expecting that, and I think especially in the situation they were in, it was late in the game and they were up 14 already. I thought that maybe they would, if they had a play like that in the bag, then maybe they would save it, but they pulled it out and he scored. And you know, he's joked about you know asking for the ball more and and things like that, but I don't think we probably won't see that again. It's probably a one-time thing that clearly, you know, Illinois wasn't ready for, but he does like to joke about it.
Correction, he is a tackle, but
yeah, guard eligibles are hard to pull off, but kind of like Polecat for Iowa with the fake punts. Iowa went through this 2 years ago. The whole no respect card around the country. It seems like Wisconsin has picked up that mantra this year. And Iowa sometimes, especially the fan base, didn't deal with it real well. How's Wisconsin dealing with it?
You know, I think Wisconsin's dealing with it pretty well. They seem, as far as the team goes, they seem really focused, and they seem like, you know, I think everybody says they play week to week and they don't pay attention to the outside noise, and I'm sure these guys hear it and they know where they're ranked. They know they're down at number 8, even though they're undefeated. And I think they're just trying to, not let it affect them. I think they're doing a pretty good job of that. The fan base is sort of split. You know, I think some fans are, some fans are in a little bit of denial, I think, as far as the playoff rankings go. I think some of them kind of have it in their head that, even though they're number 8 right now, they don't need any help, and if they just went out, they'll get in no matter what. And, you know, I kind of look at it and think that, you know, that's probably not the case. You know, I don't think they're going to be jumping Oklahoma or Clemson or Notre Dame or, you know, the SEC title winner if none of those teams lose. So I think they do need a little bit of help, but, I think it will probably work out for them. You know, if they win every game, I think that you always see upsets near the end of the year. You always see some chaos, and I don't think they need a whole lot of things to happen to allow them to get into the playoffs if they do keep winning. But I think that I don't think they're necessarily using the slightest motivation. I think they're really just trying to take it week to week and say if we just win this week and then win this week and this week, we think, you know, it'll just work out and we'll see where we are at the end of the year.
Finally, weather could play a factor tomorrow in Madison. It's not going to be beautiful at Camp Randall's Saturday.
No, it probably won't be. And they've had really good luck with weather so far. I mean, the game in Illinois a couple weeks ago was bad, but this is going to be the first game at Camp Randall this year that's really, you know, cold and not pleasant. So we'll have to see how that affects things. And you know, obviously these two teams are used to playing in games like that, and they both like running the football. So maybe it'll work out for them.
All right, Jason. Hey, appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
All right, thank you.
All right, back with more after this. You're listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
At Ferguson, service is our most important part. So if service is the part you're missing from your supply house, come into one of our 600 nationwide locations and let our team help yours. Whether it's tracking down those hard-to-find parts, having your order ready and waiting at our will call, or helping you manage your inventory with our SKU app and online ordering, the edge every trade professional needs is right around the corner. And with Ferguson Pro Plus, you'll earn redeemable points with every online purchase. Come into one of our locations or visit Ferguson.com today.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team.
NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Back with you on the Gym Class KGYM as we get closer and closer to kickoff of Iowa City West and Bettendorf, or at least the pregame for Iowa City West and Bettendorf. Alex and his crew standing by at the Uni Dome. We'll get to them coming up in about 10 minutes or so as they put the finishing touches on the prior game. West Sioux leading Council Bluffs St. Albert right now, 55-21 with under a minute to play in that one. And as well, thanks to Todd in Cedar Rapids. He is the winner of our final Dr. Pepper prize pack of the week. Gentlemen, we have a shortened panel here today for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. It is brought to you by Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. And we're going to get the picks knocked out here real quick. We have Todd's picks. We have Alex's picks. We have Sean's picks. I don't have your guys' picks. We're going to start with game number one, TCU and Oklahoma in Norman. Oklahoma, a 6.5-point favorite. Sean was the big winner last week, and Sean likes the Horned Frogs on the road in this one. I do not agree with Sean. I saw Kenny Hill play. I don't think Kenny Hill's going to beat Oklahoma in Norman. I will throw the 6.5 and take Oklahoma. Mark.
I'm not sure TCU will win either, but I like the 6.5 spread. Give me TCU.
Like that, TCU.
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm not totally sure that TCU is going to win this game, but I think Oklahoma went through a lot last week, and the defense is good enough for the Horned Frogs. They're going to keep it close.
All right, and Todd likes Oklahoma along with myself. And Alex Kuhn here is listening up at the Uni Dome right now, getting ready for their broadcast here. Sent me his picks earlier on, and he likes TCU in this one. Game number two, Oklahoma State in Ames to take on Iowa State. Cyclones getting 6.5 on senior day. This is a no-brainer for me. Bad weather, Iowa State motivated. I will take the Cyclones getting a touchdown. Thank you very much.
Kind of pigtailing off what Kyle said. Oklahoma State went through a lot last week. And on the road, senior day for Iowa State, give me the points. Iowa State.
Kyle.
Yeah, there's a few different things in play. Just, you know, that Bedlam game last week was crazy. The Cowboys are coming off a crazy week. And then Iowa State, it's senior day. They want to finish this year strong after losing to West Virginia. I think they at least keep it close. I'm taking the Cyclones.
Kyle likes the Cyclones. Todd likes the Cyclones. Alex likes Iowa State as well. Sean? Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
On the island right there. Mark, first pick, Michigan State in Columbus to take on Ohio State. Ohio State is a 15.5-point favorite, despite having their bubble burst last week.
Can you imagine practice in Columbus this week?
Oh, man.
Give me Ohio State.
Likes Ohio State there. Kyle.
I actually thought I knew for sure what Mark was going to say here. Too many points. Michigan State.
Todd likes Ohio State. Alex likes Sparty. Sean is going with Ohio State in this one. I think Michigan State's got a chance to win this game. I love the Spartans getting 16 points. Love the Spartans in this one.
27-10, Scott.
Good seeing. Game number four. What could be a snowy Minneapolis. The Gophers hosting Nebraska. Minnesota is a 2.5-point favorite. Kyle, you bat leadoff.
Somebody has to win this game. Minnesota's at home. I'll bank on a couple turnovers from Tanner Lee. I'll go with the Gophers.
Todd likes the Big Red in this one, as does Alex. He is going with Nebraska. Not so fast, my friend. Sean is going with Nebraska in this one. My goodness.
Is that a sweep for them?
What has happened right here? I'm going to go with the Big Red as well. And Mark?
I think for one weekend, all the oars are in the water for Minnesota. Give me the Gophers.
Game number five, Purdue at snowy Ryan Field to take on the hot Northwestern Wildcats, who are a 4-point favorite in this one. Todd is up first. He likes Purdue on the road getting those 4 points. Alex, likewise, he likes the Boilermakers as well. Sean also going with the Purdue Boilermakers in this one, which means not because I'm going against their entire team. Northwestern's having a magic carpet ride right now. This may go 17-10 in overtime. I like the Cats in this one, Mark.
Purdue lost its starting quarterback, did it not?
Yep.
Northwestern.
That was exactly what sold it for me. The game might be close, but I'm going Northwestern.
Is this our turnaround game right here? This is going to make the break of the year with Purdue at Northwestern?
Well, and the Nebraska-Minnesota game that we just picked was the same way. All three of them took Nebraska. I guess Scott was also on Nebraska, but
yeah.
we could make up a lot of ground with those two games.
Yes, we can. Iowa at Wisconsin in Madison. Alex has first pick. He is going to go with Iowa, getting the 12 points and 135 rushing yards. That's their tiebreaker for Wisconsin back Jonathan Taylor. Sean likes the Hawkeyes. He picked Iowa to beat Ohio State last week, as he let us all know, and 83 for Taylor. I'll take Iowa as well, getting those 12 points, and I'm going to go with 111, which seems to be a fun number in Vegas. Mark, what do you like?
I'm going to go Iowa as well, but the more I think about it, Vegas might know something. I don't know. But I like the 12 points in this spot. 101 for Taylor.
This feels like one of the easiest games we've picked all year. Iowa for sure. And I'm going to go 85.
Iowa and 85. Todd likes Iowa, and he also took 101, so I'm going to give him 102, Mark. You took his number out there. All right. There you go. As short as it was, ever, the Carl and Ernie's pick six. And we need six contestants right now to hitch your wagon to one of the prognosticators. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And if you if your prognosticator has the best week, you will get a $30 gift certificate. That from Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. All right, so we're going to get you to SportsCenter at the top of the hour, and then to the Unidome. Iowa City West football coming up in all three frequencies. You've been listening to the Gym Class in 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio SportsCenter.
I'm John Ryder. The Seahawks have had injuries to their key secondary players in recent seasons, Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas, but never Richard Sherman in his seven-year NFL career until last night when Sherman ruptured his right Achilles in Seattle's win at Arizona. He'll miss the rest of the season. ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson on the injury and Thursday Night Football.
Lockdown corner's entire career, you know that's a big blow to Seattle. So, no, I don't like it at all. I think when you look at it, it's all about money. The NFL is getting a little greedy. You got Sunday night, you got Monday night, then you got Thursday night, then you got Sunday night again. I mean, you can't continue to just keep playing football like that back to back to back. Our bodies are not made like that.
Also, the NFL is conducting a thorough review of a possible violation of its concussion policy after Russell Wilson was sent off the field for a concussion check but returned after not being checked by a team physician. The Yankees have interviewed Eric Wedge for their managerial opening. Wedge formerly managed the Mariners and Indians. He's the second person to interview for the job. Yankees bench coach Robbie Thompson interviewed on Wednesday. Eric Bledsoe will make his Milwaukee debut, start at point guard tonight at San Antonio on ESPN at 9 Eastern.
SportsCenter is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, Wednesday through Saturday, select Dockers signature khakis are just $36.99. Or get 50% off select Arizona and St. John's Bay apparel. Plus, get $10 off with coupon when you spend $25 or more. JCPenney.
It's a playoff rematch this Saturday morning at the Dome on KGYM. Join Alex Kuhn and Gary Fickle this Friday morning at 9:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM as number 2 Iowa City Regina meets number 3 Pella Christian. These teams met in a